Welcome everyone to Final Score with the Score. Chelsea 4, Brighton 2, another Chelsea win in the Premier League, a third successive Premier League win, fourth successive win in all competitions. Cole Palmer, we're going to talk about Cole Palmer a lot today. Four goals for him in the first half. The first player in the history of the Premier League to score four goals in the first half of a Premier League game. Also equaled the record of Frank Lampard, Jimmy Hughes, Floyd Hasselbaink and Didier Drogba of the number of hat-tricks they've got for Chelsea. One more hat-trick, he'll be Chelsea's leading hat-trick maker in the Premier League. So an incredible performance from him for both halves. Could have had a lot of assists, could have had more goals as well. Great performance. We played well, we created a lot of chances. Should have won by a lot more goals. But a great, great performance, and I'm really excited to talk about this. Chelsea are now third in the Premier League, after Arsenal have now won 4-2 against Leicester. So we're third in the Premier League, we're 1 point off top. We are now the leading scorers in the Premier League with 15 goals. Pretty incredible, really. The good start continues. This is really positive, and it's nice to be talking about wins. So I'm joined today by my normal colleagues, Rambles. Welcome, Rambles.
Evening, guys. How are you?
Good. Quite happy. Another win. The third in the league. It's positive stuff.
Yeah, we made a very good start to the season. Probably better than any of us imagined.
Yeah, definitely. My prediction was that we'd probably be about sixth or seventh at Christmas and then be stronger in the second half of the season. But, you know, we're making a really good start. This is really, really positive. And we're scoring a lot of goals, and that's a good thing. Cole Palmer is back in world-class form again. Good to see, yeah. Red, welcome.
Hi, guys. I've not seen a performance like that. It kind of gave me reminiscing of Lampard's first stint in charge where we didn't know if we were going to score or concede half the time.
Yeah, one of those games. We'll talk about Robert Sanchez today. He basically gifted them two goals. If he hadn't done that, it would have been 4-0. But yes. But they didn't mean... Well, I think we had the most... I think they had four shots on target in the whole game, and two of those were given to them by Robert Sanchez. Really two shots on target.
Five shots on target in the entire game, and I think, like you said, two of them were given to them.
Yeah, so three shots. I mean, that's not much in a Premier League. Chelsea, on the other hand, had, I'm just looking at the stats, we had 15 shots overall and seven shots on target. Yeah, which is pretty good. Chelsea had 40% possession, 40.8% possession. So we didn't actually dominate possession. Brighton did that. But Brighton played a very, very high line today. And Enzo Maresca took full advantage of it. He set us up to take advantage of it, and we did. We could have scored more goals than we did. So, yeah, really good day. So I'll just go through the game. So the team, there was one change from last week's Premier League game. Malo Gusto came in for Tosin. Otherwise, it was the same team as beat West Ham. Chelsea started, so pretty good, not bad. And then Robert Sanchez drops an absolute clanger, comes for a ball he should never have come for, and what should have been just a header straight at the keeper, a routine save, became a goal. And Chelsea were 1-0 down. And the first goal we've conceded in four games, to be fair. So, yeah, I was disappointed that we hadn't kept our run of clean sheets going, I'm not going to lie. But, yes, 1-0 down, and then that was a test of our character. But we came back. Cole Palmer, he scored four goals. They're all really good goals. This one was a good move. Jackson assist for Cole Palmer. Another, just a world-class finish. 1-1. And then Yeah, I mean, then it was the Cole Palmer show. You know, four goals in one half. He got a hat-trick in 10 minutes. He scored in 21st, 28th with a penalty. And then in the 31st, and that completed the hat-trick. Jadon Sancho got another assist. Today's third assist in three games. If you include the penalty that he won, he's got four assists in three games. And he got six assists in about 50, 60 games for Manchester United. So he's nearly caught up his Manchester United assist rate, assist numbers in three games for Chelsea. That's another person we should talk about probably. But yeah, then again, Paul Palmer got another goal in the 41st minute. I mean, it was some pretty bad defending from Brighton. They were leaving themselves wide open, leaving lots of space. But we took full advantage of it. And yeah, Cole Palmer gets his, you know, gets his fourth goal. We were, and in between the third and the fourth goal, we gifted Brighton yet another goal with us. Just, I can't even explain what happened with that goal. It was so ridiculous from Robert Sanchez to give the ball away in that position. And then, like, just, I don't know what he was doing. They did nothing to earn that goal whatsoever. So then it was 3-2, and then we. It was 4-2 minutes later. So half-time, it was 4-2. And that, I mean, that was it for in terms of the goals. But the second half, Chelsea came out and had more chances. Cole Palmer created chances. Nicholas Jackson had a few chances. At least one or two he should have scored. Cole Palmer could have scored a couple more goals himself. Jadon Sancho and Cucurella, I think, no. Jadon Sancho and Cucurella both had goals ruled out for offside. Which was sad because it'd be nice to see both of them score.
Cole Palmer, wasn't it? Sorry.
I thought it was Sancho that had a goal ruled out for offside.
I could be mistaken. I just thought I thought Cole Palmer had one as well.
Oh, he might have done. Yeah, I mean, I can't.
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Oh, yeah, I mean, God, Cole Palmer was doing everything today, wasn't he? Yeah, and we could basically control the game. Maresca made some good subs. Pedro Neto came on, Romeo Lavia came on, Christopher Nkunku came on, made some good subs at the right time, as always. Good to have Lavia back in the team. I think he calmed everything down in midfield and just helped us see it out. Class player, big fan of Romeo Lavia. And yeah, a win. And I've just seen the Premier League table, Chelsea are third. We're on 13 points after six games, which is very encouraging. This time last season, we were about 13th or something, or 11th or whatever. So to be third in the Premier League, three wins in a row. We've won, how many have we won in the Premier League? We've played six, won four, drawn one, and lost one. And the one we lost was to Manchester City. Chelsea have not lost in their last 21 Premier League. They've only lost two games in the last 21 Premier League games. And that was to Man City and Arsenal. So we're doing well. We're making progress again. There's still always areas you can improve, and there's certainly things we can improve today, and there's discussion topics today. But that was the game today. So I think you've got to start. You can't start anywhere else, really, than Cole Palmer. I've run out of superlatives for this man. He is just a world-class footballer, and I'm not hearing any different. The first player to get three goals in the first half of a Premier League game ever. Scored as many Premier League hat-tricks for Chelsea as Didier Drogba, Jimmy Floyd-Hasselbank and Frank Lampard already in just 39 games. The joint highest in Chelsea history in the Premier League. Unbelievable. I couldn't keep up with how his overall stats were improving, so Ren, if you could find out his overall stats and what they are now for Chelsea, it must be incredible. I just can't get over how good he is. I think he's on five goals. Is it six goals? Six Premier League goals he's got now this season. Now our top scorer.
And he's got four or five assists, has he?
Yeah, something like that. He must have four or five assists. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. He is just a phenomenon. It's very clear last season was not a one-off. You know, he's just found his groove again. Yeah, just top class, you know, and we're so great. We're so glad we have him in our team. Really, really good today. Just his mentality is just so, nothing phases him. Nothing phases him. And there's a thing going around where he did the Sky. He was doing the photo shoots for Sky before the season starts. And he was like, they asked him to put his three fingers up for a hat trick in case he got a hat trick. And he said, like, don't. And there's a video of him going around where he said, do you want me to do four? You know? And look at that. He's done it. He's got four goals in a Premier League game. He's incredible. And he's going to get better. That's the scary thing with Cole Palmer. He's only 22. He's going to get better.
Just because you asked about the stats, I found his Premier League stats for Chelsea. 39 Premier League games, 28 goals and 15 assists.
Holy mackerel. 39 goals, did you say?
39 games, 28 goals, 28 goals. Assists. So what's that?
43 goal contributions in 39 games.
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. What a player.
And yeah, he just proved today that he's well and truly the star of the show. That's not even to say a bad word about the rest of the side, but it was chalk and cheese for a lot of periods because where some of our other forwards were gifted chances and missed the target or just unable to put it away, it seemed like Cole Palmer, just everything he touched today turned to gold yet again.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. He's got... how many assists has he got this season? He's got four assists. So he's on six goals and four assists this season.
I mean, he could be on to break the record for assists, which I still think is 20.
Yeah, I just remember when Cesc Fabregas got 16 before Christmas once, I think. Just that season we won the league that season. I mean, he could definitely do that. I mean, if Jackson had taken a couple of chances today, he probably would have had a couple of assists. But I know we talk about Cole Palmer a lot and there's not much new to say, but yeah, what are your thoughts on Cole Palmer, Rambles?
I mean, he I'm not even surprised anymore. He's just so good, and he's nowhere near his prime yet. You know, he's just going to keep getting better and better.
He is. He's 22. Yeah.
I mean, I don't use an exaggeration to say, you know, he could go on to be our best attacking player in the modern era. You know, the way he's going. And, you know, he walked into a dysfunctional team with so many issues on and off the pitch. And he's just risen to the challenge.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he just, every time you think he can't do any better, he does. He's definitely the kind of, well, I don't want to say the heir to Eden Hazard because he's a totally different player. But in terms of, you know, that world-class attacker position that we, you know, that Hazard vacated when he left, he's taken that up. And, I mean, he really is just, you know, world class.
I mean, I absolutely love Hazard, but I think he could go on to be even better because I think he will just get those numbers season after season after season, goals and assists.
And as much as I love Eden Hazard, Cole Palmer's got a much stronger mentality in terms of his work ethic and desire to improve and be better. And you know, he's just going to keep getting better. I can't wait to see him in the Champions League. Honestly,
and I think for England as well now, he's got to be the first, after Kane, he's got to be the first attacking player on the team sheet. Because I personally think he's overtaken Saka, and I think he can overtake Foden as well. I think he's that good.
Yeah, I think he'd be starting for England. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, we all remember how he came on in the final and he scored, and it was a great goal. He's got to be starting for England. There's no doubt about that. And he's one of England's best players, you know. And it's not a debate for me. I mean, Foden's not even starting for Manchester City at the moment. You know, he came off the bench today. So, quite frankly, Cole Palmer would start for Man City above Foden at the moment. They must be absolutely kicking themselves, honestly. For sold him for 42 million, you know, and they were happy to sell him.
He's a lot better than Doku. A lot better.
Oh, much better. Yeah, I mean, that is a Kevin De Bruyne level mistake from them, really. Cole Palmer is our revenge for Kevin De Bruyne, I think. such a good player. Yeah, and he's a leader as well. He's a great example to everybody else. Good pro, you know, so good. What about you, Red? Just anything you any more superlative for Cole Palmer?
Yeah, I just feel like we wax lyrical about Cole Palmer every single week, but today especially is 100% needed. I just want to make a note that the commentator said it perfectly. I don't even have to repeat what he says, really. It was just one of the best first half performances you're going to see. The first three goals were in the space of 10 minutes, and that had us in shock. And then, wow, he even added to his tally with after 20 minutes after the first goal, getting a quadruple. You said obviously about the stats being the first player to do so, but another thing I wanted to add is Frank Lampard only got 4 goals in the game twice for Chelsea, so he's level with Frank on that note, and I think that just puts him really in a special place in Chelsea folklore, even though he's only been here one full season.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be great when we start winning trophies with him, isn't it? It's going to be great. You know, he's a player that kind of deserves to win trophies. You know what I mean? He's a player that will probably be a player that wins us trophies in finals and wins finals, you know, because he's just a big game player. He shows up, you know, and nothing phases him.
He makes everything look so easy.
He does, yeah. I don't think even he realises how easy it is, how difficult that is for everybody else. For him, it's just like, yeah, whatever. You know, I can do this. and £40 million, like, honestly, what a bargain that is.
When he steps up to take a penalty, you could think he was just having a kickabout with his friends in the park.
Yeah, I don't even doubt he's going to score when he takes a penalty. I don't feel nervous when he steps up to take a penalty because I know he's going to score. Like, it's just like, I don't feel like that with some penalty takers, but with him, I just don't, because I just don't think he doesn't have nerves. Like, he's just totally confident in himself, not in an egotistical way, but just he has this incredible self-belief, you know, like.
Something, yeah. I found quite comical was I saw someone say the other day that he's almost got the trait that Messi has, where he just doesn't have enough time to think about the occasion. He just cares about kicking the football, which I found it's truthful, to be honest. He doesn't seem to let anything faze him.
No, he doesn't act like the big guy, even though he basically is. He's not got a kind of unhealthy ego, you know. I think he knows how good he is probably, but he's pretty confident in that. But he's a team player, you know. He wants to win, you know, and he's liked by his teammates, you know. You can see that they respond to him quite well on the pitch. So, yeah.
But out of the 4 goals that he scored today, I just really want to get both of your opinions. What would you say is your favourite of the bunch?
I love the free kick.
I've watched that free kick like multiple angles. It's an incredible. I was thinking, like, this reminds me of Gianfranco Zola. Like, that's the biggest compliment you can get. He used to score. I remember, because I'm old enough to remember when he played for Chelsea, he took free kicks from basically the same area, and they were very similar. There were these curling free kicks which were going into the top corner. And that's exactly what Cole Palmer did in that free kick. It was brilliant. It was so good. And it was from quite far out. You know, it wasn't a guaranteed goal by any means. But we're so used to Cole Palmer doing well that we just assume, it's just like when he scores from those kind of positions, we just think, oh, yeah, it's Cole Palmer. Of course he's going to score. You know, because we just got so used to him being so good. He's phenomenal. I've never seen it anything like it, really. Like a player come in and be this good this quickly. Eden Hazard, maybe when he joined, Zola, maybe when he joined, but not at this level, and not a young player anyway. Like, nobody expected this, you know. Nobody expected Cole Palmer to be this good this quickly, except maybe Joe Shields, you know. So give Joe Shields his flowers, because he pushed for Cole Palmer, and you know, he was right. So
so many people laugh when we signed him. I can remember some of the comments about what Chelsea doing. People were laughing at the transfer fee.
It's like I was going to be a bench player, you know, whatever. Like I remember that. I defended him. I thought he was a good player. I'd seen him play for City and for, you know, the City Academy. And I knew he was a good player. I knew he was like a good investment. I didn't expect him to be this good. I don't think anyone did. But certainly, yeah. I mean, people, he's not a big name. Like, he's rubbish. He's, you know, what is it? Oh, it's another English player, whatever, you know. I remember, I've got receipts. I've seen them. Like, I feel quite smug about defending Cole Palmer when we signed him. I mean, like, yeah, and nobody says all that stuff now. He's one of the players that unites the whole fan base because we all know how good he is, right?
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. You need players like that. Yeah. And
I also wanted to bring Vince in just to get, you know, another opinion about Cole Palmer because I feel like it's just perfect to round up.
Yeah, Vince, welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys. I mean, that was just an incredible performance. He probably should have had two or three assists in the second half. He started dropping deeper and then playing these, you know, absolutely incisive through balls, whether it be to Madueke or Jackson. I mean, he literally could have had four goals. He had another goal ruled out for offside. I mean, that was one of the most brilliant offensive attacking performances I've ever seen in Premier League history. That's how brilliant he was today. Sancho, three assists in three matches. I think he's nailed himself on as a every match starter pretty much in important games. I mean, also won a penalty, as you said. So, I mean, he's just affecting the scoreline pretty much match in and match out. And then Moises Caicedo, I don't know what's gotten into this man, but he's turned into one of the best central midfielders in the entire Premier League. I mean, winning the ball back time and time again, playing through, you know, players in on goal. I never even saw this long passing ability from him. I always saw him as a pretty much pure defensive midfielder, but he was breaking Brighton apart with his long passing today. The high line for Brighton was an absolute disaster. I mean, Caicedo and Palmer both took advantage of that. And then, you know, Maresca just has the whole fan base, you know, an extreme amount of joy right now. I mean, we might have had this once or twice the entire entirety of Pochettino's tenure, just these kind of performances where we feel this happy afterwards. I mean, Maresca's done a phenomenal job, and I honestly think we're pretty much a lock for the top four the way we're playing right now.
Yeah, good comments there. You're absolutely right. And, yeah, Caicedo, you know, I mean, I love Caicedo. I think he's brilliant. I think it's been brilliant. You look at all the stats and data for him. He's been one of the best midfielders in the Premier League this season, 100%. And he's been good for a while as well. You know, really, I'm really pleased with him. It's good to see, to have a really quality midfielder in the team. And good to have Lavia back today as well. Just going back to Cole Palmer, I've got his official games by numbers. 100 tackles, 100% tackles won. Seven shots, four shots created, four goals, two big chances created. Incredible stats there from Cole Palmer. And like you say, only the second midfielder in Premier League history to score four goals in two separate games. And the other was Frank Lampard. Fantastic stuff from Cole Palmer. Brilliant. Brilliant. So we'll get on to. We've got other people coming up to speak. So, Red, you feel free to let those guys in one at a time.
Okay, no worries. We
want to talk about Cole. We're gonna wax lyrical about Cole Palmer for a bit longer.
Yeah, I feel like you've got to keep the focus on Cole. So, Adam CFC, you should just have been accepted. Whenever you can, mate, just give us your thoughts and try and wax lyrical on the performance of Cole. Hopefully he can come in just a second. But whilst he's just loading in, I just feel like not even his goals today was the things that really took me by surprise. I just feel like the sign of a good player, a bit like when Salah joined the league, a bit like when Haaland joined the league, I just feel like he makes when he's on form, he makes the rest of the team look better as well.
Absolutely. Yes, I think he brings, like, because having a player like that in your side gives confidence to everybody else. because you know you can give the ball to him and he's going to do something. You know that if you give him a chance, he'll score it. You know that, you know, you're confident if you get a penalty, he's going to score it. If you get a free kick, he can score it. Or also as an attacker, you know that if he's in a good position to, if he's not in a position to score, he might pass it to you, and he can do that, and he can create something. So he's a player that gives everyone else confidence, even when you're not playing. Even when we went behind today, and everyone said this is a test of our character. Well, you know, we came back, and not only did we score 4 goals in the first half, but we could have won by more. This has been a pattern in the last 12 months as well. Happened 5 times under Pochettino, came from behind to win, I think. And this season we've done it once already. So that's good character, you know, because Brighton are a good team. They're in the top half of the table. So this isn't a team that, and they beat Manchester United. Well, beating Manchester United, I don't know if that's an achievement.
But
or not.
Score. Just quickly on the lines of an individual which boosts the confidence of his colleagues. We've got Louis Benevente. Come on, you pitch side. Thought.
Louis Benevente, the legend. Gentlemen. Welcome. Our man at the
good
game.
Good afternoon. How are we? Or evening now. It's half 5, isn't it?
Yeah. Even mate, how
are
you doing?
I'm all right, boys. I mean, that was a spectacular performance. I was in the Matthew Arden upper for this one because my old man had the season ticket, so I had to get a spare. But I tell you what, it gave me an excellent view of that free kick. My word, that was absolutely spectacular. I'm sure you've already waxed lyrical and gone through the numbers, but I tell you what, just watching Chelsea today, look, aside from the obvious, where I think we made some mistakes. I'm sure people will be talking about Robert Sanchez today. Look, he did make some howlers. First goal, I don't think was all his fault. I think Caicedo made a really poor decision laying it back to him when realistically we should have just looked to get rid of it at that point. But at the same time, it's the way that Enzo Maresca wants to play his football. He wants to play out of the back. And, you know, we're only going to get better at that by actually doing it. So those mistakes are going to happen. But just as long as we outscore the opposition at the moment, which we did today, All is fair in love and war, I think. You know, I think that the performance was great. Second half, could have got more goals as well. I'm a bit worried about this set-piece routine that saw us get 2 offsides. So that's something I think needs to be reviewed. But look, overall, you know, everyone's been very, very happy with the performance. I was very happy to see Chelsea beat Brighton because of their need to try and force this rivalry, which I find hilarious and also quite jarring at the same time. Overall, you know, it was a great performance by Chelsea, and you know, it was good to get more points to the board and put us in an even more solid position going forward.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, Cole Palmer again. I mean, like, what? I mean, you were at the game. You know, you're our man at the game. What was his overall game like today? Not just the goals, but his overall performance.
I thought he was moving into the right spaces. I thought the way that him and Nicholas Jackson and Noni Madueke and James Sancho, the wingers, you know, that front four, should we just say, combined really well. I thought he played well off the ball. Ed, towards the end of the first half, he did have a couple of lumps out of him. And I think that maybe slowed him down in the second. But, you know, still, I thought he was getting into the right places. He was causing more problems. You know, I think myself and Red were talking a couple of days ago, actually, and say maybe it'd be more interesting to see him out wide. Well, seeing him in the middle means that when you have those players that he's attracting the opposition, it gives more space for those wingers to do what they're really good at. You know, I think the way that he played today was great. You know, and I've not felt the way I felt watching Cole Palmer since Eden Hazard. You know, I think there's a player there which is not only extremely silky, but someone who hits all those deliverables that the team needs and gets into all the right places and causes all the problems. You know, he's very smart and he's an intelligent footballer.
Yeah, he's like a talent. He's got that talismanic quality that he's had. Absolutely. You know, he's kind of... hopefully we can build a team around him rather than just rely on him all the time. I think we're trying to do that. I think we've got, like you say, I think we've got some quality attackers around him. And that was the next person I was going to talk about, actually, was Jadon Sancho, another Joe Shields recommendation. And, He's now got 3 assists in 3 games for Chelsea. 4, if you count the penalty that he won. And he got 6 assists in about 50, 60 Man United games. So he's close to matching his Man United assists rate in just less than 10 games for Chelsea. A great start to his Chelsea career. I think he's doing really, really well. Again, another bargain. You know, he's on loan. We'll pay 20, 25 million for him. I think we've got a bargain there. I think he's found a place where he feels at home. Manchester United, he never looked like a good fit.
I feel it's quite early to say that score personally. I think that, you know, I think he played pretty well today.
About what we've seen so far. I'm talking about what we've seen so far. I'm not making an overall, but on what we've seen in the first 3 games, you know, it's a good start.
Louis, whilst you're here, just on the lines of Sancho and like we said earlier about how Cole Palmer compliments his teammates, would you say that almost today, especially because he was just scoring so many goals, that the defenders are focusing on Cole Palmer, that it just gives Jadon Sancho that extra second to maybe not have the stress that he had in the Man United shirt?
Yeah, I'd say that absolutely is the case. I do think some of his decision-making today wasn't great as well. I feel that sometimes he felt he needed to do that extra little bit of skill to formulate space or try and, you know, knock the ball around somebody when realistically there was a better option to hold on to the ball and for Chelsea to continue to cause problems. But having said that, you know, you're going to get that with those Maverick sort of players where maybe, you know, they're going to do something silly which doesn't work. But, you know, 2 or 3 other times, which he did do today in fairness, you know, he's someone who can make that magic happen and get bums off of seats. That's part and parcel of having those kind of players. But yeah, I think he had his moments today. I thought obviously he got the assist. He played, you know, well. I don't think it's his best game so far. But then having said that, that's only 3. So, you know, I think him having that opportunity just to continue to play and continue to deliver, you know, I really hope that he can do that and need to prove his value that Chelsea have invested in him with in a Chelsea shirt.
And just on the lines of players who I believe actually put in a decent performance, but it was very contrasting between the halves. In the second half, the commentator was waxing lyrical all second half about Malo Gusto. And I just wanted to know your thoughts from the stands, because it seemed like he really changed an extra gear and was putting in some valuable interceptions in that second 45.
He absolutely was. I think Malo Gusto definitely, again, you're like saying, showed his value. He made those interceptions. I don't think he's fully fit still. And you could see that for me watching the game, obviously without commentary. You know, I did think that you could see signs of a little bit of rust. But having said that, he's only just come back from injury. I do think that he can definitely provide more value. And I think, you know, in the absence of Reece James, we've obviously got a fantastic player to fill in at right back. He made some fantastic interceptions. Going forward, I think some of the passes he made were a little bit sloppy and he'd get caught out a couple of times. But overall, a solid performance. I don't think any of our issues really came from down the wings. I really think that most of our problems were caused down the middle. But, you know, he's only going to get better as well. So, you know, I think that overall, Malo Gusto can always improve. I think every player can always improve. But I think the value which he brought today was far outweighs the negatives. And yeah, I think that the commentator was absolutely right to wax lyrical about him.
And who would you, I mean, outside of Cole Palmer, who would you say was Chelsea's best performer today, Louis?
That's a tough one, that.
Sanchez?
definitely not Robert Sanchez. I think Chelsea's best performer, it's a tough one. I'm trying to go through the team. I don't think Nonny Madueke lit the world alight today. I don't think Jadon Sancho really did enough for me. Nico Jackson was getting in all the right places, causing a lot of problems, but didn't quite apply that finishing touch. I think process of elimination, you're probably looking at one of the two defensive midfielders or Marco Correa. I think Enzo Fernandez played all right today. I think he put himself about. I think he made some really important passes. I thought he connected the game well, but you know that's probably that second S Command of the Match award is definitely going to be up for debate.
Interesting, right? that's interesting to hear from. It's always good to hear that from someone at the game, because obviously we all watch it on TV, but someone at the game obviously has a different perspective. They see everything in a different way. So interesting thoughts. I thought Caicedo had a decent game today. I thought Enzo had a decent game. It was good to see Lavia back as well. I was quite pleased with that. It's good to have him back. How did he do, actually? How did he look in his brief kind of 10, 20 minutes?
Yeah, he was all right. I think he's come back from injury. He was holding onto the ball well and he made some passes. He didn't do anything to speak ill of, to be honest. He just did everything that was expected and knocked the ball about well.
That's basically what I mean. They brought him on, I think, to just control the game and see things out, which, again, he's really good at keeping possession. He's good at passing. He's the perfect guy to bring on for that. So, yeah, I was pleased to see
that. I will
that.
Say, though, that something I noticed, especially just from the way the goals were scored, is that the whole match was almost a lesson of what not to do when building out from the back. And it would just be interesting to find out what the atmosphere was like at the stands, because it must have been every single time they were passing it short, there was the groans and the, you know, the nerves.
Oh, yeah. There was, I mean, around me, there's a lot of groans, but I think some were unwarranted. It's what we've signed up for. Enzo Maresca is going to want to play out the back. He's going to want to, you know, knock the ball about and not pass it where he breaks down him on the...
Louis, you're still there. You're cutting up a bit.
Hello, can you hear me, guys? Sorry, I didn't. I think there was definitely those groans. There was those moments where fans were tired of it. But you know, unfortunately, you know, with the style of football that we signed up to, you're also. I think obviously I completely understand why people feel that you need to seize the opportunity sometimes. But at the same time, we aren't going to get those passages of play where we knock it about so well and break things down quickly on the counter with some simple passes without, you know, carving that space open ourselves. And, you know, I do think some of the groans were unwarranted, but, you know, you're going to get that and we've got to sign up to it. And, you know, I'm sure that those mistakes that we made today are going to be highlighted in training.
Absolutely. And Enzo Maresca is quite meticulous and he notices everything. He has high standards for his players, so he'll be pointing that out in training this week, yeah. And hopefully we'll see a change in that for the next game, which is the Europa Conference League game on Thursday at home. And my mind's gone blank into the opposition. We have to make sure we do our research on on the Conference League opponents. But yeah, that's and then obviously next weekend we have Nottingham Forest at home in the league again. So yeah, it's all go for Chelsea at the moment, and lots of games coming up.
Yeah, score after that performance. We have a lot of performances, and then it's Ghent that we play in midweek at home.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, then Nottingham Forest next Sunday, and then the Sunday after that, Liverpool away.
Yes, and I just think it's quite good because it means we can fully rotate in midweek as well.
Yeah, it's going to be needed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We shouldn't need our first choice 11 to win that game. So. And yeah, Liverpool, I'm predicting Anthony Taylor will be the referee for that. 100%. It's not even a debate, you know. We'll see. But yeah, that's the 20th of October. That's just about three weeks from now. But yeah, we've got three winnable games. We've got two winnable games before that. Sorry, three. I was counting today. Ghent and Nottingham Forest. And yeah, that Liverpool game will be a good test. And after that, we've got Shamrock Rovers. So that'll be fun. I think it's Shamrock Rovers in your conference.
And, Louis, I understand you're a busy guy and you've got to make your way back. So I just wanted to ask you like one more big question. That is...
You have to, mate. I'm joking.
is the atmosphere back at the Bridge? Because obviously I know it's early doors in the league, but City are dropping points. We're right up there at the top of the league now, and I can imagine the goals today really, really helped our case.
Do you want to ask me the question that you want to ask there, Red? Go on. What are you trying to get?
Chelsea fans confident at fighting for the title this season?
Behave yourself. Absolutely not. I don't. Chelsea are nowhere near ready to fight for a Premier League title. I think that the performances that we put in are great. I think, you know what, fair enough, lads. I think we played well. I think there's still maybe a couple of tweaks needed. If we're going to compare it to any season, I'd argue this is... All right, okay, let's be careful with how I use these words. If you want to argue it's just preparing for a title, I'd say it's maybe more akin to the season that Manchester City had Claudio Bravo in goal, where going forward they looked pretty strong, but defensively they weren't as resolute. Chelsea aren't going to be going on a title. I think the atmosphere... I do feel that when it comes to those first results, right, or those first goals, it's definitely a little bit shaky. You know, in the words of Tom Skinner, it's definitely a case of I don't get nervous, but, you know, I do start to get a little bit shaky. But, you know, I think that Chelsea fans are definitely feeling a bit more positive this year. I think the pressure's off. I think that's a big thing, because when Enzo Maresca was announced as manager, I think the pressure of expecting Chelsea to deliver disappeared and dissipated. Because I don't think anybody expected Chelsea to do what they are doing right now. And, you know, for me, it's very much a case of long may it continue. As long as Chelsea continue to get results, as long as Chelsea continue to do business, you know, let's just keep getting those points on the board and you know, keep making a case for it. Obviously, as you've mentioned, you know, we've now got those Conference League games coming up. We've got the Carabao Cup. We'll have the FA Cup there in the season. We've still got the Club World Cup to consider as well. You know, we've just got to see if Chelsea can keep in rhythm, everyone can stay fit, and we can keep hitting all the right notes, because it's when, as we've seen in previous seasons, I ironically was talking about the season where, you know, Chilwell and James were just absolutely flying. And then we had that game against Juventus where Chilwell just broke in half. And I think before he did get injured, I was sitting there thinking, you know what, we are going to go for the title, we are going to be saying the team that can be thereabouts. And unfortunately, obviously, everything fell apart after that game. So, you know, we've just got to see what happens. Take each game as it comes. And then I'm sure come May, we can be having a conversation if Chelsea are in a position to go for the title, where I will continue to say I'm not sure we're ready until we literally have that trophy in our hands.
And yeah, I'll be honest, I only asked that question just to see if the result and the confidence would maybe sway your allegiances anything. But yeah, score, have you got anything to add?
Well, I mean, I, my prediction at the start of the season was that we would finish fourth or fifth. And that was, just, you know, I did a lot of research on our form of the last year and who scores goals and where the goals are going to come from and all of that kind of thing. And I think it was, my prediction was that we would probably be about sixth or something around Christmas and then end up finishing about fourth or fifth. And, you know, we were starting better than even I thought we would. And I thought I'm not a blind optimist either. I was realistic enough to think that we maybe wouldn't start in the form that we started in. I've been impressed. I don't think we're ready to challenge for the title. I think it would be too soon to win it anyway. I think there is such a thing as winning it too soon. You know, this team needs time to develop. I think I think we'll win something this season. I think we'll win the Conference League. And I think we'll get into the top four. And that'll be a good season. That'll be a season of progress. And then, you know, then next season, with another year's experience, with the experience of winning a trophy, then maybe you can think about challenging for the title. Probably wouldn't win it.
I'd argue we're two players short. I think we need a top goalkeeper. But the real question is who's going to take the wages at Chelsea and be that top keeper. And I'd argue that we probably need a solid top draw partner for Levi Colwill. Because I'm not sure about whether he's a final or two. I don't think there's a player there which can really give Chelsea what they need to really progress and be a top side. And also, I do think that his injury problems are going to be a consistent way. But I think, look, that's a long way off. I think, like you're saying, Steve, we can't be blind optimists. We can't be talking about having that conversation yet. We just need to make sure that we're all heading in the right direction and Chelsea do what they can to progress up the table more and more.
It's just progress every season, get better every season, you know. And if we keep doing that every season, we'll be in the right place. We'll be in the right position, within the next couple of seasons. At the same time, right now, we're third in the table and we're 1 point off the top and the same number of games played as City and Arsenal. So we're only 1 point behind Arsenal and City. So, good. I mean, it's a good start. It's good. We're making progress. It's just about, where that progress will take us and how quickly that will take us. And we just got to keep backing the team and backing the manager, in my view. So just one little stat that I found. And this is Ben Jacobs wrote this. In 23-24 season, last season, played 6, won 1, drawn 2, lost 3. 5 goals scored. This season, played 6, won 4, drawn 1, lost 1, 15 goals scored. So there's a clear improvement from last season to this season. God, that is actually pretty bad. We were on 6 points at this point last season. We're on 13 points now. So, definitely signs of improvement.
It just goes to show what confidence can do to a side.
Yeah, and development. The players have improved, I think, from last year. Just by playing, as well as working under Pochettino. I think Pochettino did improve a lot of the players as well. And confidence, absolutely. Cole Palmer today, we saw what confidence can do. Once he got the first goal, he was just relentless. So, 100%, I think. And we're taking good positive steps in the right direction, and that's what the most important thing is.
And score, just before we move on, I just want to say, obviously, thanks for joining us today again, Louis. And shortly, the voice note review will be out, so make sure you check that out. It will be on the Chelsea Echo, so it'll be out as soon as we can get it out. And Louis, thanks for speaking to us again today.
Yeah, good man, Louis. Yeah,
thank you so much for your time now. I'll get myself a drink, I think.
Yeah, enjoy the evening.
I wouldn't take a chance. See you later.
Bye. Yeah, Louis. So we should talk about Robert Sanchez. He was a factor today. He was Brighton's best player today. doing a great job for his old club, gifting them 2 goals, and he really did. I mean, the first goal, you could say that wasn't just his fault. I agree, but then again, if he stays on his line, it doesn't matter what the other mistakes. So I think we don't concede that goal. The second goal, he's been playing well the last few weeks, and he deserved his flowers after those performances. But today, and somebody I saw tweet earlier that, it's good that you can make good saves and, all that kind of thing, keep your team in games. But the top keepers know what to do in those pressure situations, those spontaneous situations. And he didn't do that today. And maybe that's the difference. Maybe he's a good enough keeper to be, for a top 4 team, but maybe he's not a good enough keeper for, a title challenging team. And that's the kind of difference. What are your thoughts, Red, today?
Well, score, the thing that I have to say about Sanchez is I think the thing that separates him from the top goalkeepers, that Man City, Liverpool, and you could say at the minute because they're challenging, Arsenal have had, is Sanchez, to me, and I think for a lot of the Chelsea fan base, still actually gives the fans he makes them nervous with a few of the things he does. And I understand, like you said, it comes with the way that we play our football. But just especially today, for example, we had the 2 goal cushion or 3 goal cushion, whatever it was. I do apologize. And I just feel like, everything was nervous. And then he makes that mistake. And then I say for about a 10-minute period, anything could happen that game. Maybe under Pochettino, we concede another and we even possibly draw the game. But yeah, I think Sanchez, it wasn't his day. I'm not going to go overly excessive on him because I think he's been really impressive the last previous performances. But yeah, today, to me, he turned into a player that we used to know with a sloppy mistake. And hopefully this doesn't majorly affect his confidence.
Yeah, let's hope so. I think that's very fair. And I wouldn't drop him based solely on that game. I think He gets, I think he gets the game next week.
Score, I don't think you're going to forget either. Yes. Straight after his mistake, Brighton had a big chance to score two goals in a matter of seconds, and he made an impressive save. So,
yeah, I mean, he's a good shot stopper, 100%. It's not that I'm worried about, actually. It's the kind of his stuff on the ball, you know, and his, you know, he's good at claiming the ball from crosses, but he went for a ball that he shouldn't have gone for, which is just about decision making. So he needs to, he's got things to improve on, you know, and he's had a good season this season overall. And he deserves a lot of credit for that. And he's been rightly getting praise for that. So yeah, difficult game for him today, but hopefully he comes back better. And yeah, the other thing, I mean, it's an interesting one about Wesley Fofana. He keeps splitting opinion on, I see on Twitter that some people think he's playing well. Some people think he's not. My view is simply that he's been out for 12 months. And to get back to full Premier League level sharpness takes time. As simple as that. I don't think he's lost any ability. I thought his first season with us, he was excellent. He was absolutely superb when he played. And our defence was better when he played. But this season, he's not been quite at that level. So I don't know, but like, I mean, what are your thoughts on Wesley Fofana?
Well, I'd be interested to see what Rambles wants to say in a second, but I'm really just going to keep it short. I've never exactly been the biggest fan of Fofana, but I fully agree with you. You're never going to be the same player after such a major injury. And in my opinion, I would have preferred Tosin to start today. I feel like he's putting out tweets and backing them up. He's confident, and I think he probably would have man-marked the likes of Dunk better at set pieces. But, you know, for some of the goals you can see today, I wouldn't have said it was his fault.
Oh, I agree. 100%. I don't blame him for the goals today at all. Yeah, absolutely. It's just an interesting... I mean, I was a fan of his. I wanted us to sign him. And, you know, I hope... But I think he's got that... He's still got that potential in him, but obviously he's got to get back his sharpness, and that takes time in the Premier League. The Premier League is unforgiving, and the level is so high in terms of fitness and sharpness, and it takes a while to get it back after you've been out for a year. So, I mean, I remember when Van Dijk came back from his major injury, it took him a few months to get back to his best. He wasn't at his best when he first came back. Now he is back at his best, but so you know there is hope there. And but yeah, I'm a fan of Tosin as well. I think he's been brilliant, and I'd be totally confident with him playing with Levi as well. He was really good against West Ham, I thought. Probably didn't deserve to be dropped, and yeah. So, but you know, we know Fofana and Levi is Maresca's first choice partnership, and you know, I don't mind playing the same partnership regularly because you need to have that consistency at the back, and that's a good thing. Just need Fofana to start performing a bit better.
So with on the lines of defenders and not wanting to change them too often, with Reece James's injury record, we have to keep having this conversation every week, but do you think that Malagusto can cement that spot now where if Reece James comes in, he's not a guarantee?
Reece James is so good when he's fully fit. I was watching the season review of 21-22, and the first 3 or 4 months of that season, I forgot how good he was. He's unbelievable. He was unbelievable. It wasn't just from right back, but the way he was, the cross-field passes, the balls in behind, like the way he was spraying the ball around, like he was unbelievable. I don't think we've lost that. I don't think he's lost that. He just needs, again, a period in the team, a run in the team, where he doesn't get injured and can stay fit and get really sharp. And if he can do that, I mean, if you've got Reece James on the right back, you can then play Cole Palmer as an inside forward on the right and play Nkunku through the middle. And then you've got width on the right from Reece James. And Cole Palmer doesn't have to go wide on the right. So that's one option you have with him. Yeah, I mean, Malagusto has got a lot of potential, and he had a good season last season. And I rate Malagusto. it's just really hard to see anyone being as good as Reece James when Reece James is fully fit. But at the same time, I think Malaga is good enough to start for Chelsea. And I rate him. And I think he's going to get better. He's only, what, 21? I think, 2021? So he's going to get better. And he's already had a good start to his career. So I'm okay with Malagosto starting regularly for us. But if Reece James is 100% fit and in form, which we've not really seen from him much in the last couple of years, but if he is, he would start for any team in the world. It seems so distant, doesn't it, at the moment, the idea of Reece James coming back and being what he was, because we've been without it for so long. But I'm just trying to keep believing that he will come back and that we will see that Reece James again, because he deserves that. I think he's such a good player. He loves Chelsea. He's proud to be captain of Chelsea. He wants to win things with Chelsea. He's got a good attitude. You know, he's a Chelsea Academy product. We want him to succeed, I think, and I hope he does. But it's good to have Malagusto there if he's not available. And it's good to have a Ching Pong there as well.
And yeah, I fully agree with what you said. I feel like it's the positive we can take from this, even with Malagusto not exactly being fully fit and Reece James not even being available at all, we're still getting the attacking threat out wide. And obviously, it used to be in seasons prior with Reece James as almost our only wide attacking outlet. And it's just it's quite positive that we can take in the future games that, especially today, we can have 10 or you could probably even miss 5 very decent chances and still get a somewhat comfortable result, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, yeah, and Reece James adds chance creation as well. And he has physicality, you know, he has leadership. He's still well respected by everyone at Chelsea, even though he's not played for a while. So, yeah, I mean, it's important to have that depth as well, though, like you say. Our attacking depth right now, you're bringing Pedro Neto off the bench, you're bringing Christopher Nkunku off the bench. it's pretty good. So, I think it's the best depth we've had up in attack for a while. And it really helps Maresca, because it means if one of your stop attackers isn't playing well, you've got legitimate options. You can change a game. And we haven't even mentioned Yao Felix, or Mykhailo Mudryk. Mudryk came on today as well. It's pretty amazing how many attacking options that we have.
Yes, I fully agree with what you said. I just feel like, maybe the one thing I would say is, look, we're going to have a fully rotated side against a midweek against Ghent. And maybe I think it'd be good for Jackson to even get some minutes in there, because with Nkunku very, very quickly breathing on the back of his neck, tight on his heels in the goal scoring charts and in almost an attempt to start in that Chelsea number 9 spot, maybe if he got 20, 30 minutes against, still a decent but lower level opposition, if he can hit the back of the net once, we could see yet another animal where he's not only providing chances, but he's putting them away.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He came off today for Nkunku. I think Nkunku will start up front in that game. It might be a similar 11 to
Barrow.
To what we saw with Barrow, yeah. Although I think Lavia might start that game instead of Cassidy. But it might be a very similar 11, we might have a Ching Pong start instead of Gusto, which would be cool. I feel pretty confident we'll win that game. It's at home. The opposition, with respect to them, we should be beating that opposition, even with our second string team. The quality that we have, when you've got Felix playing 10 and you've got Nkunku playing up front as your backup attackers, and Pedro Neto on the right as your backup winger, I mean, it's pretty good. There's no question we should be winning that game. So, I can't see Rambles here anymore. It seems to have disappeared. That's a shame. So it's been a good day. Chelsea are third in the league. top goal scorers in the Premier League. Cole Palmer, absolutely on fire, world class. You know, 6 Premier League goals, 5 Premier League assists. Sorry, 4 Premier League assists in 6 goals. Pretty incredible.
I was going to mention another player we haven't spoken about.
There you are, Rambles. Sorry.
I was going to bring up Madueke. I really like him, but he, for me, he needs to improve his decision making. I've seen a lot of people saying he's become very greedy.
Yeah, I mean, there was that. What did you see of that today, Rambles? Where did you see that today?
There was a chance where he could have squared it, and he took a shot and missed.
Are you cutting out of it?
I think the difference between he and Neto, I think Neto's a bit more accomplished, and I think Neto's decision making in the final third is currently better than Madueke.
I agree with that. I mean, there was that chance against West Ham last week where he should have passed it to Neto, but he took a shot and didn't score. Fortunately, we were already 3-0 up, so it didn't actually matter. But yeah, and he's. I do worry that hat-trick has gone to his head a bit. I mean, he's a great player. I love Nuno Madueke. I think he's a big talent, and he suits Maresca's system, but he needs to still be a team player. You know, and like you say, Neto is more experienced, and he's, you know, he's more aware of other players around him. He's willing to make assists, get crosses in, I wasn't sure if Nani would start today. I thought Neto might get a start today. I think there's a case for Nani, you know, not starting the next league game, just to give Neto an opportunity, because Neto's been good when he's come on, and he was good in midweek, and obviously scored as well, which is really great. So that's a good point. That's a good point. Because I saw a lot of frustration with Nani on the timeline tonight. So, what were your feelings on Nani Redford?
I'll be honest, I didn't really have much positive to say about him. I was quite happy that, like usual, he was electric on the break, and there was a few chances where he beat his man and got him behind. But yeah, I think exactly what you said. Maybe the hat-trick's got to his head, or just maybe not every player's like Cole Palmer. You can't put in a 10 out of 10 performance every week. But yeah, it's nice of Rambles to mention him, because he definitely did deserve a mention today. It was just quite simply because some players were absolutely unbelievable and other players were atrocious. You know, those two really get to the top of the pecking order in terms of talking points. But if I'm talking about a performance that I'm going to remember from Madueke, this wouldn't be one.
100%. Yeah. And that's perfectly like, we knew that. He's still young. He's only been at Chelsea 18 months. He's definitely proved in that time, and fair play to him for that. You can see that the work that he's put in, he's just got to keep learning, and, you know, he will improve, and we know what he's capable of, and we'll see that again, I'm sure. He seems to be a player that thrives in adversity as well, like when he's places under threat or when he's dropped or, you know, whatever. The speculation about him, he seems to come out and put in a performance. So, because you remember the goals that he was scoring were when he was being linked with moves away and he didn't want to leave. And he basically earned his spot in the squad with those performances. So, yeah, we need some more of that from him. It is nice to have options in attack where you can say we can leave him out and we won't be any weaker, because you've got Neto who would come in there, who's, we know, is a quality, proven Premier League player. So that's nice. Again, it's nice problems to have. And I've said this a lot recently, but it's good to have nice problems instead of bad problems. You know, one other little statistic, and this isn't really related to the game, but to Chelsea overall, we've only got one player out injured at the moment. I think this time last season, we had about 8 or 9 players out injured.
It seemed like the list of injuries were constantly full last season. So, yeah, this has got to be some sort of record, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's literally only Reece James that's injured at the moment. So that's a really good thing to see. It's nice. It gives Enzo Maresca a bit of less pressure. He can rotate the team fully. He could basically pick a different 11 on Thursday and we could probably still win. And that is a really positive thing because it means that our first choice 11 generally stays fresh and doesn't play two games a week, which in the second half of the season especially will be a very, very good thing, and also prevents injuries. So, because if you're not playing as much, then you're less likely to burn out or break down, right? So, yeah, that gives me a lot of confidence in terms of getting the top four. And I think that the second string 11 is good enough, certainly to get us to the quarterfinals of the Conference League. And then maybe you have to play your better players from that time
on. Here's a question for you guys. What are your thoughts on Jorgensen? Do you think he could get the number one spot soon? I mean, I know Sanchez has played well the past couple of games, but he has made two huge mistakes again today.
Yeah, I think I haven't seen Jorgensen do anything wrong for Chelsea yet. He's made some good saves when he's played. He's very good coming out from the back. He's good on the ball. I don't have any worries about him. I wouldn't be nervous about him starting a Premier League game. And it depends on Sanchez. He's still the guy in possession. If he has more games like today in the next few weeks, well, then maybe he'll get dropped. I don't think he's going to get dropped based on one game, but certainly there's competition there now, and he'll know that. And hopefully he will sort it out, and next week against Forest, he'll have a better game. What do you think, Red?
Yeah, I agree. I just can't see him getting in the team. Like, I respect him as a goalkeeper. I don't think he's really put a foot wrong in the Chelsea shirt. But yeah, unless Sanchez is an absolute clanger for maybe 2-3 weeks in a row, I just don't think he really has the level to, well, suggest himself for the first team.
What about you, Ramos? What are your thoughts on the goalkeeper situation?
I mean, I've never been convinced on Sanchez. You know, I think he's very lucky to still be at the football club. And I think part of the reason he's still here is because I did hear in the summer there is literally just no market for him because he wasn't brilliant last season. And I think, yeah, he's made a decent start to the season by his standards. But he's not a keeper, which fills me with a lot of confidence. You always feel like there's a mistake in him.
Yeah. Yeah, and I remember the days when, like, almost my entire life supporting Chelsea, we had, no matter what other positions were weak, we always had a good goalkeeper that you could just depend on.
Yeah, Kudacini, even obviously, Cech, then Courtois.
Yeah, exactly. And you had, before that, you had Ed De Hoy as well.
Who was and Dimitri Kharin.
Even Dimitri Kharin was pretty good. You know, I mean, in terms of where we were at the time, we were a mid-table team at the time. But he was still a pretty good shot stopper. And kept us in games. Chelsea have always had good goalkeepers, but since Courtois left, it's not quite been like that. We had the 18 months with Edward Mendy, and it's really sad what happened with him. I don't know why he lost his form almost completely. I don't know what happened.
He just declined massively in a very short space of time.
If he'd maintained that form, he'd be our number one now, you know, but he didn't. So there you go. That's just unfortunate, really. But, it's still a position that is not fully resolved, I think. And we need to get it fully resolved. I mean, we've got enough goalkeepers on the books. So, we should be able to try and get that resolved. I don't think we'll sign a goalkeeper in January and then we might get banned. But if we don't get banned, then maybe next summer we might have a look at the goalkeeping situation.
I mean, I certainly heard in the summer, I think the Mike Penders who we've signed, he is seen as like by his club as the next Courtois.
Yeah, he looks a really good prospect. And I think he will join us. Yeah. I think he will come in next summer. I don't know where. But, like, I mean, he's officially a Chelsea player next summer. So Yeah, I mean, he won't be Chelsea number one next season, I don't think, but certainly long term he could be. You never know. If he's as good as people think he is, certainly if he's as good as Courtois, you know, but good on the ball as well, then yeah, he could be. I mean, but it'll take time. He's still quite young, but I think that's a good signing. He's very highly rated. So, and we've still got Petrovic, of course, you know, who is learning to play out from the back at Strasbourg. So he's still around. I mean,
it'll be interesting to see what happens next time, because obviously we'll have Penders coming back. We'll have Petrovic returning from his loan. Then obviously in defence, we've got Anselmino coming in. Then we've got...
Yeah, we've got a lot of loan players. Like we'll have Petrovic, Penders, and Slonina coming back, won't we?
Yeah, we obviously have Anselmino,
Santos, Ugochukwu,
William Estevao,
Kendry Páez. Oh dear, Chelsea are going to be able to sell players next summer for sure. No question about that. So if we need to make revenue next summer, we can. It's a good position to be in, but I want to see Estevao and Páez, but Andre Santos is somebody I really want to see in a Chelsea shirt. I think he's going to be incredible. He's the best midfielder in the French league at the moment, one of them, statistically. So, I'm looking forward to him.
I'm really excited about Leslie as well, because I think he's a profile we don't have, that big, physical, commanding midfielder.
Yeah, and I think they can replace Carney and Cassidy in the squad.
Yeah, but...
next season, you know, and we won't be in the Champions League next season, so we're going to need to rotate, you know, in the Premier League as well as in Europe if we're in the Champions League. So we're going to need that depth in midfield, you know, especially with Lavia's injury history. So having Santos and Ugochukwu around, you know, that's what the depth you need.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see a couple go in January. Maybe a Carney could go in January, or a Badiashile could possibly depart.
I think that's true. We're going to see a lot of changes to the squad. Modric, I don't think, will be with us from January.
No, I can't see it either.
He'll be loaned in January, and maybe loaned next season with an option to buy. I think his time at Chelsea is coming to an end, in my view. Not that I don't like him, I do, but I just don't think he's anywhere near the level we need from a Chelsea.
Yeah, team. I don't think I can say a bad word about him. I just feel like the other wingers who have had opportunities in his place, some wingers have even had less minutes than him, have made much more of a substantial impact.
Yeah, that's right. And I like him. I want him to have a good career because he deserves it. He's got a good attitude. He's been through a lot personally. It's not a difficult thing, not an easy thing to go through in terms of what's happening in Ukraine and his family and things like that. So I just want the best for him, really. But I don't think Chelsea is the best place for him to develop.
Yeah, I think he just needs to go to a club where he can ideally be first choice, have the full confidence of his manager, and just start week in, week out.
Absolutely, yeah. He's a good... I think the players really like him as well. Well, I remember he got the assist on Tuesday.
Everyone went straight up to him.
Everyone went to him. That shows you how much he's respected in the squad. You know, and and probably they feel the same like we do. You know, that maybe he's not able to get into the first choice 11, but he's got a good attitude, good work ethic, and wants to succeed. Good character, but just not quite at the level that we need right now. And that's not a personal attack. It's not. You know, I think there's a lot of talent there. I do. I really think there's a lot of talent there. He just needs to be in an environment where that can develop freely and he can play every week. And then, you know, maybe, who knows, maybe he goes on loan and it, you know, develops and becomes really, really good. And we want to keep him after that. You never know. You never know what can happen. So, yeah, good luck to him. And I was pleased to see him get an assist as well, actually. It was a really good assist. It was really good. I mean, Nonny Madueke could learn a bit from him in terms of, you know, being unselfish. Because Modric hasn't scored this season. He could easily have just gone for goal. But he didn't, because he knew the best ball was the assist, and he got it. He got his assist, and Nonny needs to learn how to be that unselfish sometimes. So, yeah, all good. Good to see you again. You disappeared for a while, but I'm glad you're back. Well, we've been going for quite a while now, so we need to kind of bring it to a close. But final thoughts on the game today, from Rambles.
Yeah, really happy to score four goals. I think overall, I think you can see this. I wouldn't be surprised this season if we're the league's top scorers, because every game we just feel like we are going to score goals. The only negative is goalkeeper-wise for me. Sanchez just doesn't fill me with enough confidence. And that's going to be, especially in the big games, that's when you need a goalkeeper who does fill your confidence. But yeah, overall, yeah, we're absolutely delighted with the start we've made to the season, and it's probably better than I think anyone could have imagined.
Yeah, I agree. Some good points there, Rambles. Red, what are your final thoughts on the game?
Yeah, just the main positive I can say is, look, we scored four goals and we could have scored eight. Now, that is an issue which I think every single football club wants to deal with. We leave the tie with only, I believe it's a point off top of the league. Cole Palmer, yep, yet again, week in, week out, putting in world-class performances, and we could see even more records being broken by him this week. But yeah, the overall thoughts from me is I really enjoyed the performance. Yes, there was a few shaky moments, but come on, you're never going to have a normal day with Chelsea Football Club. I believe Conte said that best.
Absolutely. Yeah, one more normal day of Chelsea. He's all they ask for will never happen. Did he actually say that? I mean, I know that's a meme, but like, I didn't know he actually said that.
I believe he said it in an interview, and I think it's just been taken out of context ever since.
I need to find that video then. If it exists on video, we need to find it. So yeah, I mean, I enjoyed today. Cole Palmer, world class. Nothing more to be said, really. He's going to keep being world class. He's going to get better. Good performance overall. Created a lot of chances. Could have scored more. And we're third in the league, 1 point off the top. Top goal scorers in the league. And yeah, things are good at Chelsea right now. 4 wins in a row. 3 Premier League wins in a row. Great stuff. And good to beat Brighton, of course. You're always good to beat Brighton after their, like Louis said, their forced rivalry, which is completely a joke now, because we were finished above them last season. We're above them this season. We beat them twice last season. We've beaten them again this season. So, yeah, that rivalry didn't exist. It never really existed, and it's over. And, yeah, good time for Chelsea. So we'll be back on Thursday for the Europa Conference League game and against Ghent. That kicks off at 8 o'clock UK time. We'll be there after the game to discuss it as ever. And keep subscribed to the Chelsea Echo. Follow the Chelsea Echo account. And for all the content that we have, all the post-match content for this show, for other shows, there's some great content from my fellow Chelsea Echo guys, Louis and Redford included. And thanks, Redford. Thanks, Rambles. Thanks, everyone who was part of the show today. Really appreciate it all. And up the Chelsea.